99.5 FM, WBAI New York and WBAI.org. And the program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And at 5 a.m., it is time for Back of the Book.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
My estimates indicate that it ought to be somewhere around 5 a.m., and you're listening to All I Went Outside Radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things, as usual. And you can find out a little bit more about all of that by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, there's a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen. At the top, it says Latest Back of the Book Program Links. Click on that. You'll get to the web page for this morning's radio program. And we do a new web page for each program. So we've got a lot of web pages up there. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 135th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program. This is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story in several universes for this past week has been that we are holding at the huge number of 121 followers on Twitter. And, oh, what an amazingly huge number. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, June 14th, 2023 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We had a meeting this past week, and, you know, one person who's recently gotten on the LSB keeps wanting to change things to be her way and doesn't seem to care about chaos that might be caused. And, you know, things like we just tend lately in the past number of years to say we excuse the absence of everybody who's not here. And this relates to a requirement in the Pacifica bylaws that if anybody misses three LSB meetings in a row, they're off the LSB. unless they get what's called an excused absence. And basically what happens is somebody makes a motion, I excuse the absence of X, and people vote on it. If it's voted in, they have an excused absence, and it doesn't count towards the three in a row. And so we have had people in the past want to start wars over this stuff, and it's really counterproductive, and it's bad news. And so we just say lately, excuse everybody who's not here, even if they haven't been showing up for months. It's better than having fights because it will get into things. And so this person wants us to not excuse those people. And it's people who have no idea what they want. Well, I think it's also someone who wants attention. So that's what's going on there. But we spent time on that, which we didn't really need to do. And we mostly got reports at this particular meeting. And I gave a treasurer's report, which you can go up to glib.com and read the whole thing if you please. And I talked about what was happening. And Pacifica is applying for membership in the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Some of you might say, didn't Pacifica have that membership? Well, at one time we did. We had membership in the Corporation for Public Broadcasting for many years. And then one year, the interim executive director at the time said, we have to save money, so we're not going to have elections this year. This resulted in a whole bunch of runners-up getting on the local station boards, and because people termed out. You can only stay in on the LSB for 6 years, according to the bylaws. And at the end of 6 years, you must go. So it happened that there were a bunch of people on the LSBs who were there for 6 years. And this is all five LSBs, local station boards in Pacifica. And so a bunch of people left. And a lot of the time you have two groups on an LSB. And mostly they have very similar numbers. So one group might have one or two more members than the other. And that means one or two more votes. And so this upset a lot of that. And the runners up, a lot of the runners up are not so hot. And in fact, I think years ago there was this one person who had gotten a single vote as a listener to be on a particular LSB. And when the other people left, and also people just resigned from the LSBs because they can be a pain in the ass. And so somebody got in there who had gotten his own vote as a listener. Now, the listeners usually get hundreds of votes, most of them, but it trickles down and eventually you get people down to this one person who got one vote, and he ended up on the local station board. And so what they did was they said, we don't need no stinking audits. We know how to save Pacifica by saving money and audits. Who needs it? It's capitalistic. Well, that was the real killer, and that bounced us out of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting after a couple of years of we don't need no stinking audits. And so we are applying again because it's worth money in various different ways, and it would be a good idea if we were in it. So the good news is Pacifica is applying. Will we get in? I don't know. We might. We might. I hope we do. So there was that. We got reports at the local station board. As we mentioned on the last program, King Chucky III had a coronation coming. Yes, we noted that Chucky III was going to have his thing set exactly opposite our program. We air at 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning. When does he set his coronation shindig to start? In America, at 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning. A coincidence? I think not. And so he did that, and oh boy, we haven't found out yet if we got more listeners than his coronation got viewers last week. We don't know. We're still waiting for more information on those ratings. In any event, we saw some of it, and yeah, it really is rather silly. And one of the sillier things are the mystery oils. He gets anointed at some point, because this is all, a lot of this crap is based on things they did in medieval times. And, you know, there are people sitting around saying, boy, it sure was easier when the Roman Empire was here. And they're doing various things. And they have these rituals, and they have various gods. They have the Jesus H. Christ God, but they also are haunted by what the Druids had and by the Roman gods. And so they're, oh boy, so they have some stuff that's left over. And of course, there were kings in the times that were pre-Roman. And they were, of course, all the what are referred to as pagan king. They were pagan religions. And so they had rituals where they seated their king. In any event, they had all those old gods. They had rituals related to the gods. A little bit of the crap that they did last weekend was related to all of that, to various different gods. And the mystery oils were in there. And
yes, R. Paul, the king, who is, I'll point out, the king of Canada, so I have a slightly different view of this than you, having grown up with, you know, the queen being head of state. The oil, I assume, that's part of the very ancient ritual where you have to hide the sovereign behind a screen. No one must gaze upon the anointing, except those who are doing the anointing. And the oil was from an animal. I'm not sure which animal, but apparently this one is special because it's vegan oil. So I believe it's a plant-based oil.
So they went out, bought a bottle of olive oil. Wonder if it was, you know, virgin or if it was just the cheap stuff. Took some cheap olive oil, slapped it on his face and said, you're the king, goddammit. And they also have a sacred spoon that they ladle the oils, the mystery oils, onto the king with.
Yes, they have a special golden container for it and a golden spoon.
Wow, them 1,000 years ago. Anyway, so they got all of that stuff thrown on him there, and still, he's apparently in that one of those coaches. They have two gold-plated coaches. And one of them has suspensions, and the other one doesn't. And that's the bigger deal one. I don't know why they don't want to put a suspension system on there. Maybe they figure it would be blasphemy because it's an old thing. Queen Victoria didn't like that coach because it bounces. She said it was like being on a ship. It waddled around so much. Of course, in those days, she was going over cobblestones, so that might have helped to contribute. Plus, I bet you they didn't smooth out what was under the cobblestones. So they were probably a little bit wavy, which means, yeah, it was an apt comparison. It was like exactly like going on a ship because they were going over waves with a coach that had no suspension in it, which means when the wheel hits a rock, your hinder on the seat hits a rock. And then they had people, lip reading people, to see what they were saying to each other. And so Chucky is in the coach, and he's lip read as saying, why can't we ever do anything on time? And so, yes, he's a little bit PO'd during his coronation. But anyway, there you go. King Chucky III is fully installed, and there's not a whole lot we can do about it.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
And the CDC website doesn't seem to be giving the total number of reported cases of COVID-19 in America anymore. They have hospitalizations lately, and their weekly death toll is significantly lower than it had been a week ago. That can't be. I mean, what does that mean? Did 4,000 people come back to life? They're also saying that the deaths from COVID-19 are trending down, which seems to be what's happening. But, you know, so I don't know. There's some kind of a screw up on the CDC website, and we don't have really good figures at this point in time, so I'm not going to quote any figures from them.
What they will be doing in the future, it sounds like, is keeping track of things through wastewater readings, which is actually a very accurate way of finding out how much COVID is prevalent in the population.
Everybody goes to the can.
This is true. And, of course, May 11th was the end to the national COVID health crisis in the United States, which means that's it. There's no more funding being provided for free testing, vaccines you can get if you have health insurance. Although I believe in New York City, they have a very generous program where if you do not qualify for any of the health insurances, you can still, you know, go get vaccinated and it's not going to cost you. But yes, money for masks, all those things, that comes to an end. And it's ended. And I guess we'll see what happens with the virus in the future, because the pandemic isn't over.
Yeah, well, you know, CDC says the emergency is over here. But I guess the CDC just figures that something that's killing more than 1,000 people in America every week is just not worth quantifying anymore. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations. Pickles got her second bivalent booster shots a couple of weeks ago. I got mine this past Thursday afternoon. We are not among those who are saying that getting a COVID-19 infection is like getting a cold. Even though the CDC isn't keeping track anymore and or showing us stuff anymore, this all keeps going on. This was all mostly preventable. And as I said, I got my shot, my sixth shot, on Thursday afternoon. And again, we record this on Friday evening. And oh boy, you know, so it was yesterday to us. And we went to the VA hospital to get a number of things done because I have a doctor's visit next week. And so we went to the VA hospital on Thursday to get blood tests done for my doctor's visit. And we were walking down the block when Pickles said to me, "This was our first time we were out together in the middle third." I said, "Yeah." And then we realized that last Thursday was the first time I'd been out of the apartment this year. Oh, I do need to get out more. Oh, she's shaking her head yes at me. I do need to get out more. And man, that was a revelation. I hadn't realized I had gone through all of 2023 so far without getting out of the apartment. So, yep, there we go. The first third, I missed the entire first third of this year outside. I looked at it out the window, though. I've been looking out the window. I urge all of you to look out windows and see things. Stay as up to date as I'm. Anyway, yeah, I need to get out more. It was really something there. And we did get stuff done. We got, besides, we got blood tests. We got my second bivalent booster into me. We got a CPAP machine looked at, and they gave us a part that will be better for us. We had one part that was getting funky, and so they gave us that. We haven't brought it in for servicing in years and years, so yeah, that's what happens. But anyway, it was interesting, and it was a very good day to be out. It was a day in May. May is a great month because things are blossoming. It's usually warm out. There's a lot of daylight, and we wandered through it all, and I liked it. We got to see all the sunlight, and I was in it. Oh, man, I don't know. Did I get a Did I get a sunburn? I didn't get a tan, I don't think, in those times.
Well, your skin is still as translucent as ever, honey.
I guess so. Anyway, so yeah, we went out and did all of that stuff, and it was okay. I think maybe I'll go out again sometime later this year. You know, folks, Pickles of the North reads a lot, quite a lot. What have you been reading lately, my dear?
Oh, boy, I finally finished the January 6th report. Yes, and this is my book report on the January 6th report by the House January 6th Committee with a foreword on the coup conspiracy by Ari Melber, published by HarperCollins 2022. It's about 692 pages, but a lot of those are endnotes, and endnotes are wonderful because you get to read through a chapter, you can stop, go to the endnotes and see in more depth what they are talking about. And this thing is documented, all the original sources, it's really wonderful. You know, texts, emails, interviews with people involved. It's great. The report is clear and concise, and it's easy to read this book. It's very well written. The summary in the foreword by journalist Ari Melber includes a chart that shows all the ways the 45th president and his co-conspirators attempted to keep him in office after he lost the 2020 election. And I made a little copy of it because it's so great. My note to myself is all of this was carefully planned. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 plots. And it goes from November 2020 to January 2021. And it really is very disturbing. It was disturbing watching the hearings on TV and seeing just how many people were involved in planning to overthrow an election.
It was disturbing to watch these people just suddenly out of the blue to us converging on the Capitol. And, you know, they're done with on the TV coverage that day. Okay, they're done with Trump's speech, and that's it. And then they switch to another person and says, well, some people, they had the barriers up here near the Capitol, and people went beyond that. Is it? Oh, well, okay. Well, there's that. Goodbye. So we said, wonder what's happening. And we switched around. We went to another channel, and in a very short while, the first thing I said was, this is an insurrection.
Yes, and this was... It was planned. It was all planned that day, and all the things that happened leading up to that day, they were all plans in order for Trump to stay in office, even though he'd lost the election. I mean, they started off with lawsuits, which is typical in an election. You will have lawsuits, you will have questions, and things go through the courts and they get settled one way or the other. And he lost all the lawsuits except one, I believe. The fact that they tried to get, you know, electors who were not properly elected to be electors to change the electoral votes that needed to be counted on January 6th. This also was so disturbing because you had 300 Republican legislators at the state and local levels who went ahead with this, who said, yeah, we'll do this. Some of them were duped. Some of them were lied to, but a lot of them just said, well, yeah, let's try this and see if it works. You know, we'll have our own slates and we'll send those, you know, up the hill and see what happens. They tried to have the states overturn votes. And it's interesting. He shows you where all these different plots happened and when they failed. And then it was on to the next plot. Some of them ran at the same time because, you know, let's throw mud against the wall and see what sticks, right? Boy. Then they wanted Congress to overturn the votes. Wow. On the very day of January 6th, when they're in session to, you know, make it official with the Electoral College votes, you had 121 House Republicans who voted to block this from happening. You had six senators who also blocked it, and this was after their very lives were threatened. This was hours after the mob was in there, you know, crying for blood. And these people are still in office. They're still in office. You had all kinds of presidential advisors, lawyers, White House staff, family members. When are these people going to be indicted? Because they need to be indicted. I know the wheels of justice, what is it, grind slow? Is that the...
Yeah.
But man, it's not just the people who went in there and destroyed things and were out to hurt people and hurt all those cops who were, you know, trying to control what was going on. All the people way above them need to be held to account too. Jeez. So we have all these plots, you know, Congress overturns votes, Pence overturns votes. That didn't happen. The Department of Justice interference, that almost happened when he like shoved in a yes man to say, yeah, send a letter and say, oh no, this election is so corrupt, we have to stop everything. Military seizing voting machines, that's a good one. Wow. Talk about your constitutional crisis. And then, of course, you have, you know, sabotage January 6th, where you had 53,000 people at that rally, and 25,000 of them refused to go through the screening for weapons.
Yeah.
This is not, it was a peaceful rally. No, it wasn't. People went there armed. And the reason they went there armed is because the president, the then president, gave them a call to action. In fact, I believe it was the Proud Boys didn't even bother going to the rally. They started knocking down the outermost layer of French barriers that were up to make it so that the crowd, the mob, could go through there more easily. And then, of course, you have the Oath Keepers who were like in their military garb going up through everybody to get in there and do stuff at the Capitol. So I know it's very upsetting to read this book too, but I think it's a necessary thing. And the journalist says, after lawsuits, all the remaining plots were unconstitutional or illegal by January. And they were doing this November, December, up till January 6th, by hook or by crook. Really? I mean, geez. The other thing that reading this report made me think of was that since July of 2020, the 45th president started saying that the election is not going to work, it's corrupt, I'm not going to accept it if I don't win. And now he's been saying this for 3 years solid, over and over and over and over again. And you have millions of people who believe all of this stuff. They believe all this stuff, and nothing is going to change their minds. And he's going to keep on, if he ends up, despite all his many legal problems, being the, you know, Republican candidate, he's going to keep repeating this stuff all through this year too, up until the presidential election, you know. But this made me think of, well, Germany in World War II. And people say, oh, you shouldn't make comparisons. Well, of course you should, because authoritarianism is authoritarianism. And just because this is a populist one doesn't mean, you know.
Well, they had a whole lot of members of the Nazi party.
They certainly did. Yes, indeed. But it made me think of, how do you say his name? Is it Goebbels?
Goebbels.
Yeah, Joseph Goebbels. Horrible man, but very efficient minister of propaganda for the Third Reich. And how, if you keep saying something is so, even though it's not true, and by the way, that quote apparently is not, that I'm not even sure what the exact quote is. Nobody is, but it's the idea of propaganda. You take something and you say, oh, this is reality. This is reality, and everyone else is lying to you, but this is the truth.
Long live Big Brother.
Oh, yes, well, exactly. Or this election has been rigged. It's rigged. It's the biggest witch hunt, and it's wrong, and you can't trust voting by mail, and you must do this. And well, I found a short passage in The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich by William, I don't know if it's Shirer or Shirer.
Shirer.
But he was like an amazing journalist, and I have read some of his books, and like, he and his wife got to live there while all these things, like the during, I think he was there for the fall of the Weimar Republic.
Oh, yeah, he was there. He wrote a book called Berlin Diary.
Yes.
And he wrote that before the war started. And at one point, he was not popular with Hitler's guys.
No.
The Third Reich did not like him, and he kept on reporting. And his wife had an accident, and she was in like a body cast, and they were getting the hell out of it. He got word, you better get the hell out of here. You know, they're killing people as they please. They don't like you, and, you know, you're on the list. When they get down to you, they're just going to come and kill you. And so get the hell out. And so he and his wife left. His wife was still in a cast, and when they went to get out, what really infuriated him was they body searched his wife in a cast. They stripped her down, and they're, you know, poking their fingers into her. Ah, you know, so he was really, yeah, they made it so that he would never like them again.
Well, also, it was, he just did some really amazing reporting and of great historical significance.
Yes. He was actually there watching it, writing it down, and reporting it on the radio. Yeah. Radio. That was the thing. He was a radio guy, too.
Well, that's another thing, too, with all of the attempts to overthrow a presidential election. Media. Media was used as a battering ram for all of this. All those podcasts and stuff on the internet by all those right-wing guys like Alex Jones and many others just spreading hate, 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 hate. Well, here's a quote from The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich that can apply to what happens when you keep repeating a lie. And this is William Shirer speaking in the first person. I myself was to experience how easily one is taken in by a lying in censored press and radio in a totalitarian state. Though unlike most Germans, I had daily access to foreign newspapers, especially those of London, Paris, and Zurich, which arrived day after publication. And though I listened regularly to the BBC and other foreign broadcasts, my job necessitated the spending of many hours a day in combing the German press, checking the German radio, conferring with Nazi officials, and going to party meetings. It was surprising and sometimes consternating to find that notwithstanding the opportunities I had to learn the facts, and despite one's inherent distrust of what one learned from Nazi sources, a steady diet over the years of falsifications and distortions made a certain impression on one's mind and often misled it. No one who has not lived for years in a totalitarian land can possibly conceive how difficult it is to escape the dread consequences of a regime's calculated and incessant propaganda. Often in a German home or office, or sometimes in a casual conversation with a stranger in a restaurant, a beer hall, a cafe, I would meet with the most outlandish assertions from seemingly educated and intelligent persons. It was obvious that they were parroting some piece of nonsense they had heard on the radio or read in the newspapers. Sometimes one was tempted to say as much, but on such occasions one was met with such a stare of incredulity, such a shock of silence, as if one has blasphemed the Almighty, that one realized how useless it was even to try to make contact with a mind which had become warped and for whom the facts of life had become what Hitler and Goebbels, with their cynical disregard for truth, said they were. If you have a chance to read the January 6th committee report, you should do it.
You know, the thing is that that is it. And we've run into that. We've run into that talking to people who have that mindset, even though it's insane. Of course, the right wing doesn't have a copyright on that kind of behavior. We also see people, we see the anti-vaccination disinformationists not caring about reality and putting forth little bits and pieces and saying, yes, this is how it really is, even though obviously vaccines save just tons of people. We also have another example of people saying, yes, Ukraine invaded Russia. What? But we have that. I mean, you know, we've got people on BAI who are really in favor of this Hitlerian behavior of Vladimir Putin. So, yeah, how the hell can they possibly say that Ukraine causes that, or, you know, and these other things? So, yeah, we've seen this behavior a lot in the past few years.
And the big difference is, of course, there is a free press in the United States. You have some very skilled reporters who really go after the facts, do tremendous work, and the people with this mindset choose to ignore that. It's, they have a choice, and they choose to ignore that, and they're hooked in 24/7 to this incredibly vitriolic crap.
Yeah, the hate speech that they like. And it's unfortunate that that happens, but it's happening. And what Shearer talks about there, we have simply seen ourselves, not with the Third Reich, we weren't born in, but we're seeing it today. In the past few years, we've seen many, many examples of this. We're seeing it on pretty much a daily basis these days. And, you know, this is what George Santos wishes he could accomplish to get people to believe him. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. Oh, you know what that means. It's the WBAI pitching train coming down the line. And we're on it. And you could get onto it yourself if you want to. Yes, it's pitching time again. We have to do this every program, and we're doing it again. So, you know the pitch, most of you. If you're a regular listener, you've heard this before. And, oh boy, we would hope that if you're a regular listener, you would call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And if you're a regular listener, you know all of that and know what it means. If you're a relatively new or even brand new listener, this is WBAI New York, which is a listener-sponsored, non-commercial radio station. We don't run ads for Chevys. We don't run ads for swampland in Florida. We don't sell that sort of thing. What we do is we talk a lot, but there are bills to be paid, a lot of bills to be paid. And what we need to do is get the money to pay them. And the way we get that is by asking you to help us out. Yeah, we need folks to call us up at 1-212-209-2950. Actually, you're calling a call center where they will pick up. And when they pick up, you tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. A BAI buddy is the name we have for the sustaining membership at WBAI. If you want to become a sustaining member of BAI, you call 1-212-209-2950. Tell them you want to become a BAI buddy, and you'll become a BAI buddy. 1-212-209-2950. And you call them up, and when the call center picks up and you say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, make sure you say back of the book. That way they know to give us credit for it. They will ask you for your credit card or debit card number, which is how you're going to do this. And then they will ask you how much you would like to donate on a monthly basis. And a sustaining membership is that. You donate on a monthly basis. And you can tell them you want to get, donate $10. And, you know, you tell them how much you want to donate every month. And you tell them what day of the month you want to donate. That way, the money doesn't come out of your credit card or your debit card on an awkward time. You know, there are times when the bank account may get a little bit low right there, and so you want to set things up so that they come out at the right time. 1-212-209-2950. And so you tell them that, and they will write this all down, and then in a very short while, you will start finding that your credit card or debit card will be charged whatever amount you've chosen to basically keep BAI going. And you'll be keeping WBAI on the air, literally, and you will be keeping back of the book on WBAI. And, you know, we have the tower rent, and we're behind in that. And we have the rent on the studios, and we have some other bills we got to pay. And we raise money, but the bills are huge because we're broadcasting in New York City. There is no way to broadcast in New York City that doesn't cost an arm and a leg. And it costs between $16,000 and $17,000 a month for the tower. That's at 4 Times Square, and we have the transmitter there, and we share a tower. Nobody has their own tower in New York City. It's all multiplexed. And so we share all of that, and we keep our transmitters all ours, or it will be when we get the mortgage on it paid off. We had to get a new one. When we moved a few years ago, we had to get a new transmitter because the other one was literally falling apart. I remember dealing with that transmitter in the early and mid-80s. So, you know, a 40-year-old piece of electronic equipment may not be in good shape. So we had to get a new one because they couldn't move it. As you move it, pieces fall off. No good. 1-212-209-2950. So we moved, and we have we're paying less at 4 Times Square than we did in the Empire State Building. A lot less, but still it's a lot of money, and we are trying to pay that, and we have fallen behind a bit. We have got to catch up. We can only catch up if you will help us, and the way you help us is to call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And it's a call center, so what it does is it takes your pledge. Don't call them up and start wanting to discuss what's on the air, because they have no idea what's on the air. It's not their job. Their job is answer the phone, enter information into a computer, and get on to the next call. So 1-212-209-2950, say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and that would be good. And again, you tell them how much you want to donate. You know, $10 a month would be just fine and dandy. If you want to do, or $15 or $20 a month would also be very good. If you want to do a one-time donation, you can do that too. Same process. 1-212-209-2950. Probably easiest to use your credit card or debit card on that. But you could also say bill me on a one-time donation. And at some point, I believe you'll get a bill. I think they're still able to do that. We are going to be having big deal elections in the next number of months. And if you want to become someone who will vote in the BAI elections, and there are, as I've said before, there are people who run who aren't terribly good at this, and there are also people who would be good to have on the local station board. You can't vote for me because I'm staff, and listeners don't vote for staff. So 1-212-209-2950. If you become a member at $25 or more, that's not $25 a month. If you make a one-time donation of $25 or more, you become a member of WBAI and you get to vote in this upcoming election, which they're going to announce all the details of soon, I believe. And you will also become a voting member once your BAI buddy amount goes over $25. So if you're pledging $10 a month, by the third month, you will be a BAI buddy. If you're pledging $15 a month, if you're BAI buddy at $15 a month, by the second time, you will be doing it. And the same is true if you do $20 a month. If you do $25 a month after 1 month, you're a voting member. So that's how that works. And we really need people to help us out here. We've got these bills. We've got to pay them. We're in arrears on a number of bills. If the people at Four Times Square decide, you know, we've had it with BAI owing us money, they don't have to do anything. They don't have to go to court or anything else. It's in the contract, the lease. All they have to do is flip a switch. They don't have to break into a room. They don't have to mess around with the transmitter. They just go over and they turn a switch they have that goes to the transmitter room that the WBAI transmitter is in. They throw the switch. The power goes. It's just exactly like turning off a light in a room. I want to leave. I'm going to turn off the light. Click. Lights off. Well, you can make it so that it will not be lights off for WBAI by calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying, you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And we really do need to have some people do that. We need you to call that number, 1-212-209-2950. And you're also saying that these overnight programs have listeners. Management doesn't necessarily think we have listeners. And there are people who actively say, let's raise money by renting out the radio station's signal from midnight to 6 a.m. I don't know what the hell you would end up with on the air at 99.5 at that point, but it wouldn't be us or any other overnight program. So if you want the overnight programs to stay, please call 1-212-209-2950 and pledge some amount of money. And if you want to become a BAI buddy, say you want to become a BAI buddy. By the way, you get that really snazzy looking tote bag / book bag that says BAI on it, and you get that if you become a BAI buddy. 1-212-209-2950. We hope you'll call that number. If you do, write to me, rpm@glib.com. That's rpm@glib.com, and let me know you pledged. All right, thank you for calling 1-212-209-2950 if you have done so. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. And that moron Trump, whom I hope to see behind bars one day, he was found liable for sexual abuse and defamation against writer E. Jean Carroll. That was so good. That's the first of his convictions. I hope it's the first of many. And that the other, and she got $5 million that hasn't gotten yet. But the jury awarded her $5 million. The jury went out for less than 3 hours. Oh, anyway, so that was good to see. And then Trump was on CNN. And is this debate, should they have had him on there? I mean, they're looking for ratings, but he got to say his lies and just blow off the... And they had a woman interviewing him. Of course, he's very disdainful of women. We see how he wants to grab parts of them because he's... That's what got him into the E. Jean Carroll thing, because he could go grab women and molest them all he liked. And it's okay because he's a star. And so he was talking on there and he just blows off everything she says. And he's talking to this audience, and apparently they had a whole bunch of right-wing creeps in that audience, and they're all applauding him when he says he won the election, and he's going to do this, that, and the other thing. Oh, man. And however, there is a sort of an upside to that. Apparently he said things on there that relate to pending lawsuits and also pending considerations of not lawsuits, but criminal charges. And some of the stuff he said were what are referred to by lawyers as admissions against interest, which means he said stuff that's going to bite him in his fat ass at some point. And so it was bad that they had him on there and he had his pals, you know, cheering. But also, just like what Pickles was reading here with the good Germans saying, yes, whatever Goebbels says, that's true. Well, this is what was going on CNN, but he also has said things he can't retract. That's already hit him in the E. Jean Carroll case where he said, oh, yeah, we can do that. Unfortunately or fortunately, the jury got to see that. And then they had that Access Hollywood thing that sort of maybe accidentally got recorded. And he's talking about because he's a star, he just grabs women and goes up and starts kissing them. And they let you do that because you're a star. And, you know, you can grab them by their private parts and just grab them. And there, that's okay because you're a star. So this is like all the stuff he was being accused of. And there other women were in there, say, you know, in the trial saying he did the same thing to me. And so, that kind of thing hurt him there. He's continuing it here. And he continues to say things how he likes them. And so I hope that stuff hurts him. I hope they bring that up during his trial. And I really, really do hope they bring it up during the trial. On top of which, I have read that some of the electors, some of the fake electors in Georgia, because where he was trying to get those, you know, I need 11,000 more votes, that stuff, there were fake electors brought up there, and some of them are seeking immunity. Well, seeking immunity is a special thing. It means you don't want to be nailed, and you think you might be. And if you get immunity, part of that is you tell every last thing. You hold absolutely nothing back. Because if you hold anything back and they can prove it, your immunity vaporizes, but they can still use everything you said against you. It obliterates your Fifth Amendment right. You know, you deal it away for immunity. And so if you say, oh, yeah, I'll be immune and all of that, but then you go up and you testify and you don't tell the whole truth, but you tell some of the truth, well, then they nail you. So these people will know this. They have lawyers. And that's very encouraging that some of them want to get immunity. Oh, boy. And so this is going to be very interesting. This year, it looks like we're going to see these other cases coming in. The $5 million E. Jean Carroll decision is going to be, you know, nothing compared to what else will happen here. I really do hope we see him in prison. Pope Francis on Friday criticized couples who have pets instead of babies. And he joins Italian conservative Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni in denouncing the country's plummeting birth rate as a, quote, national emergency, unquote. Well, the Pope could let priests get married and they might help increase the population, or the Pope himself could get out there and start dating and meeting some women and get the papal baby boom going himself. Come on, you don't want other people to do what you won't do, do you, Popo? That's been it for Back of the Book. Coming up next is
Ecologic with Ken Gale, Donna Stein, and Sally Gellert.
And look out the window and enjoy how May looks. And Go on out and enjoy it. I did the other day. If I can get out, almost anybody else can get out. And have fun in all of that stuff. And above all, remember what that glad to get out of the house for once Dormouse said.
Of Everything Old Is New Again, every Sunday night at 10. Please join me then, and please support WBAI at our brand new old number, which is 212-209-2950. Again, that's 212-209-2950. Hey, it's our old number, but it's new again, because everything old is new again. I like it.
Exciting.
This dude is bad.
He's sexy. Okay, maybe not. He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
He's Tony Ryan.
Tune in to WBAI Saturday, May 13th, for a full day honoring and commemorating the life and work of our dear colleague who recently passed away, Tony Ryan.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tony Ryan, and you are in tune to WBAI New York 99.5 FM, and this is Soul Central Station.
Once again, that's the Tony Ryan Soul Central Station tribute celebration, Saturday, May 13th, from 1 p.m. to 1 a.m.
I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to your stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
WBAI accepts snowmobiles. If you have a snowmobile, we want it. We also want any extra cars, trucks, SUVs, RVs, boats, and more. Any reason is a good reason to give a vehicle to WBAI. Some do it to avoid the hassles of selling. Some like to skip the costs of repairing, while others just enjoy the good feelings of giving back to their community. But no matter your reason, donating a vehicle to WBAI is a great idea. And it's easy. Here's how it works. Simply call 866-WBAI-CAR. That's 866-922-4227. Or give online at WBAI.org/donate-your-car. Our vehicle donor support team will arrange your free pickup. When the driver arrives to tow away your great gift, you'll receive a donation receipt.
Vehicle donations have the potential to drive hundreds and sometimes even thousands of dollars to WBAI. Call 866-WBAI-CAR or visit WBAI.org/donateyourcar.
You're listening to WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM. My name is Bill Samuels, founder of NYPeoplesConvention.org. WBAI is New York's leader in progressive talk. Whether the issue is prison reform, education reform, the legalization of marijuana, or women's rights, the people's issues are covered on these airways. So stay tuned